Okay. Hey, everybody. Let's see. I can change my name. I'm not Corinne anymore. So excited about that. Yes, there I am. Y'all see my name? All right. How's everybody doing today? We already got one hand raised. Awesome. All right. If any of y'all have not listened to the podcast for this week, I'm only just about a third of the way through it, but Corinne's already cried like four times. But it's all about her, what she's accomplished in the last year, and how she's looking back and thinking about how far she's come in the last year. And I am just, you know, we're all like this, but I am just so big right now on recognizing and intentionally thinking about how far you've come, whether it's last week, whether it's yesterday, whether it is a year ago. But just taking the time to really remember, because our brains don't want to do that. Our brains don't want to, you know, think about how far we've come, right? It wants to, you know, think about everything that's gone wrong and everything that you're not doing right and all that kind of stuff, right? But when we actually are intentional about thinking about what we've accomplished and how far we've come, and, you know, in a certain amount of time, it's just, it can just be a game changer because it really gets your mind going in the positive direction, right? Oh my gosh, Laura. So I'm so excited about the time management course too. Y'all, it is up. So if y'all want to print it out and start going with it, actually, let me just pull it up here real quick and see. I think I want to see if it has the video with it too. Because yeah, it says access now. Let me see if you can do the workbook, or you can, okay, the video's not up yet, but you can print out your workbook, and then the video I think will be up maybe a week from Monday. But go ahead and print out the workbook if you want to and get going, you know. Okay, I'm so glad to see all these people listening live for the first time. Michelle and Andrea and Katrinka, I think. Yeah, Laurianne. Yeah. I mean, y'all are probably going to cry too on the podcast because she's talking about Logan and all this stuff that's happened. So the first video was up yesterday. Okay. I don't see it. Why don't I see it? Okay. Well, we'll figure that out. But all right. I got two folks, CDL. I'm not sure who CDL is. And then we've got Andrea after that. So anybody else who wants to get coached, y'all get in line because I just want to go through as many people as I can today. Okay, you watched it yesterday? Okay. Well, don't listen to me then. If y'all have it, we'll find it somewhere. It's somewhere. So okay. CDL, you're up first. I keep thinking of commercial driver's license when I think CDL. There you are. Hi.
I need to change
Yes. Are you, is it Connie?
Yeah, it's Connie.
Oh,
It's just my initial.
okay. Because I remember talking to you before, and I'm not great with
Yeah,
names, so I'm very proud of myself. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Thank
Okay.
you.
Yes. What's going on?
Well, I just seem to do good for maybe 3 or 4 days and then start eating, overeating. I make my plan and I'm all excited and I'm, gonna, commit, to doing my plan. And I do good usually, say Monday through Wednesday, and then I drop the ball. So I'm just having a hard time being consistent for more than like 3 days. So
Okay, so let me ask you this first. What do you make it mean that you, I mean, you're seeing a pattern, right? Of like you're
Right.
on plan, you're doing good for 3 days, and then you drop off. What are you making all that mean about you and your weight loss and all that stuff?
That I'm never going to get this weight off, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, and that's why the cycle keeps happening, because you think, okay, I can do this. And then one overeat happens. It always starts with one overeat, right? I mean, it's never, because each overeat is an individual decision and it's an individual choice. So you could just have one overeat and then you could say, oh, wait a minute. I don't make this mean anything about my ability to lose weight. I can make this mean that I am totally normal, that I am not a perfect human being that follows a plan, every single meal. And this is my opportunity to learn and move on and not quit again.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you got to do something different, right? Because I mean, this just happens over and over again. So, I mean, even after 5 overeats or 5 days of overeats, it's like, okay. And that was the thought that I practiced when I was losing weight. Like, I'm just going to try something different, and just getting back at it and being okay with making mistakes. I know I can't be perfect. I want to be perfect, but it's just not possible. So,
right. And it's, this has been going on since I joined in January. Mm-hmm. I actually had one good month in February where I didn't eat after dinner, mm-hmm. and I did manage to start to lose a little bit of weight. Mm-hmm. So,
but still, you're calling that like your one good month, right?
Yeah.
Everything can be good. Because it's always like, even if you're not losing weight, what am I learning? What am I learning from these mistakes that I'm making? How can this always be good no matter what? Even if I'm not losing an ounce, this can just be a time where I'm practicing maintenance, where I'm just practicing maintaining my weight and practicing having some overeats and learning from them and not beating learning to not beat myself up over just making mistakes like a normal human being is supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah.
I also am really good about, planning usually, unless it's like, Monday through Wednesday, I'm on plan, I'm planning, I'm assessing. And then mm-hmm. when the overeat happens and mm-hmm. then, I just drop the ball, don't do any planning or assessing for a couple, 3 days.
So what are you telling yourself when you make that first mistake? I'll never lose this weight, but what is really leading you to just get off, for a few days?
Well, I know it comes down to how I feel about myself. Mm-hmm. A lot of shitty thoughts about mm-hmm. myself. Here we go again. It's always at night when I overeat. Mm-hmm. And then when I do overeat, and this has been going on since I joined in January, the recovery worksheets, I've done a couple of them, but to be honest, I think about, I'm supposed to do a recovery worksheet when I overeat. And then I look at it and I just think, I already know why I'm doing it. What's the point? Because the questions it asks is like, what would you do different next time? And, I look at that sheet and I'm just like, I already know this stuff.
Okay. So bullshit, right? I'm calling bullshit on that.
Right.
Because if you knew what to do next time,
you'd do
it. And you would, you would do it, right? It's like, okay, so I was about to give you some other homework to do, but you got to start. Here's the deal, Connie. This is the God's honest truth. You are not going to lose weight unless you start doing those recovery worksheets. Period.
Yeah. And I just, I've listened to like the Tribe Success stories that she has usually once a month or once every couple months. And I know that, the gals have said how important they are.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I just don't get it. I mean, I just feel like, okay, even if I know what I would do next time, I'm still probably not going to do, you know what I mean? It's just like,
How do you not get it? Because you haven't even done them, right? You don't even know if they're going to work or not.
Right. I've done a couple of them.
Well, but I mean, you got it. I mean, you know, we got gals who've lost, I mean, I know I can think of Jen, who's lost 90 pounds. She's done like over 200 recovery worksheets.
Yeah.
That is what it takes to lose weight. So what's it going to take for you to do these worksheets when you hear your brain going, well, I already know what I need to do. I don't need to do this. I'll just do something different next time. What are you going to tell yourself instead to get you to sit down and do that worksheet? Every overeat.
That Betsy says I need to do one no matter what.
Then that works for you, but I mean, you know, that's great. This, like, I mean, you literally have to say, this is required for me to lose weight and keep it off. If I'm interested in losing weight, this is what I have to do right now. It takes, what, 2 minutes, 3 minutes?
I know they don't take very long. I just feel like the questions are sort of, I know the answers. You know what I mean?
It's not about not knowing the answers. Yes, you know the answers. It is the literal act of having to write them over and over and over again. That is the power of the recovery worksheet. It's not doing all this stuff in your head. That's why we don't, I mean, and that's the power of the plan, of actually writing down the plan. There is so much power in putting your pen to the paper. And Yes. So, because I mean, you know, that's why we say, you know, you can't just have a plan in your head, right? Because it will change, you know, and you'll make all kinds of excuses, not follow it. You probably have learned that.
Right.
So this is your opportunity to learn that you can't just do the recovery worksheet in your head. You have to do it and see it written out and see you, and you write the same things over and over and over again. And pretty soon you get tired of writing these things over and over again. So I'm just not going to overeat to begin with. So I don't have to write the same fucking thing over and over again. That's what it gets to.
Okay.
So that's it. I mean, it's just, there's no way around it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. But yeah, if you want to start Betsy told me I have to do this, then go for it.
Okay. I'll blame Betsy.
Okay. Well, I want you to, y'all can blame me all day long if you want to.
And then the other, this is along the same lines, but when I did coaching with Kathy, probably last month, and she wanted me to do the self-love course, because that's where my overeating stems from, is feeling like I'm not deserving and that kind of thing. I felt the same way. I did the first 5 days, and I looked at the next day's questions, and I'm just like, you know, just kind of shaking your head going, how is this going to help me to look in the mirror and tell myself 10 things I love about myself? Which is, you know, I love my insides. So to me, that's an easy to answer. But the outside, not so much. So
it's hard, you know, right? We don't want to do things that are hard. But those are the things we really need to do.
Okay.
Because they're hard.
Well, they're hard. But also, I have a hard time seeing, I'm sorry, but I have a hard time seeing the point of it, you know.
Wrapping my head around. Yeah, and like that thought isn't helping you move forward with your weight loss.
No,
I mean, just humor us for a little while. Just you know, just say, okay, they seem to know what they're talking about in that P&P place, because there's a bunch of people losing weight. I'm just going to like suspend all disbelief and just trust the process for a little while. And just go for it.
Okay.
And drink the Kool-Aid, you know? And just try it. Because what you've been doing now, thinking, what's the point? It hasn't worked for you, right?
Right. Okay.
Now try something different. Okay. I'm gonna keep me updated. I want to see how it's going with the recovery worksheets and the self-love course for sure.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
There she goes. Yep. Cracking skulls today, y'all. No, I'm kidding. Isn't that from Breakfast Club? Cracking skulls. That's not nice. I'm nicer than that. But yeah, I am a little hyped up. Maybe I had a little bit extra coffee today. Okay, Andrea, Sunny, Wanda, and Cheyenne are who's up next. Hi. Are you there? Oh, hold on. Let me unmute you. Don't push anything.
Okay. There, I won't.
There we go. Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Good. This is my first time doing anything like
this. Oh, good.
This,
so, well, I'm glad you got on. You figured it out. I can hear you.
I'm not sure where to look.
That's okay. Just start talking.
Should I look at you or look at my camera, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter to me, because I don't know. I may be weird. I look at myself a lot when I'm talking. I don't necessarily look at y'all. I don't know what it is. It's just whatever works.
Okay.
Okay.
So I am an April baby. Mm-hmm. I guess we're not babies anymore, but I joined in April. I have a great accountability group, and they're actually the ones that really challenged me to go ahead and do coaching. Mm-hmm. So since April, I have lost about 1.6 pounds that has stayed off. Mm-hmm. Everything else has kind of gone, it's bounced back and forth. So it's a little bit of a repeat of what Connie was saying. Mm-hmm. I can go for like a week at a time, and my plans are really realistic, and I follow them. And I'm assessing and all that stuff. And then, we'll go for a week, and I'll still write the plan. But then I'm breaking it all the time.
Why?
I'm still assessing that I'm breaking it. And I would say not the majority of the time, but I do recovery sheets every now and then.
Okay. So why are you breaking your plan?
The best answer that I can give is just because I want something different than I've written down, which I've heard you guys address a lot. So I need a little help finding the motivation to stop doing that.
Okay.
Like fixing that want to. I've hit a point where I went to a youth camp, and I did not take my binder because I just, there in my mind, there wasn't room and there wasn't time, even though it doesn't take that time. And I've had a really hard time starting back up, which I think has helped me see that I'm kind of in a tough spot, and I need a little more guidance than.
Okay, so you're not in a tough spot, right? Okay. I mean, saying you're in a tough spot.
Okay.
Sounds really hard and crappy.
Yeah, it feels really hard. So yeah. Okay.
You're not in a tough spot. Okay. It's just time to get back at it.
Okay.
I mean,
I think part of what I'm feeling, and I know the feelings are not necessarily the truth, but I'm kind of believing them, is that if I haven't had more success up to this point, what's going to make it different moving forward?
Okay. What's your answer to that?
I don't know.
And you can't say I don't know.
Tell me. Because this is kind of a characteristic of what I do in other areas too. I'm fired up at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then when it does get tough, I fall away. But this is where where I want to put the flag in the ground and make this change.
Okay.
So
put the flag in the ground. Do it.
Okay.
So why do you want, you know that this is your tendency, right? You know that this is your pattern.
Yes.
But this, you want to do this differently. Why?
Yes. I am tired of doing this back and forth thing.
Okay.
I'm tired of feeling like that I can't succeed at something, but it's like I prove myself right so much, and I don't know how to readjust that thought.
You practice that thought that I want to, what you just said, which I don't even remember, but I mean, you're tired of doing the same old thing.
Right.
And so, I mean, again, like I said before, my one of my favorite thoughts was, I'm just going to do something different this time. I'm just going to do something different because what I, you know, and I didn't really include because what I've done before didn't work, because that doesn't help me to just remind me of that, right? But I'm just going to do something different this time. I'm tired of, you know, just getting these same results and, you know, and doing this, what'd you say, like, you know, losing
it's
the same.
It's kind of like a ping pong. Like, yeah. I'm good and I lose like a couple pounds and then the next week I completely undo it.
Yeah. You're tired of it. And so, like, what sounds like, yeah, Connie's in the same boat. I'm just looking at the comments real quick. So, okay, you know, you've had a great 4 or 5 days, and here comes, like, what's a specific example of what happens when you go off plan?
Typically, it's when I come home from work in the afternoons. When I do the recovery sheets and I look at them, the time frame is typically from 3 to 7.
Okay.
In the afternoon. And that's generally when I'm like, I don't want the snack that I put down. I'd rather have X, Y, Z instead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in that moment,
okay,
what are you going to need to practice saying to yourself? And I'm not saying this is going to be a perfect, you know, system where this works every time, right?
Right.
Because we're fine with making mistakes. We're fine with not being perfect around here.
Okay.
That's required, right? What'd you say?
I said, okay.
Yes.
That's hard. That's hard.
And that's the key. That's just what I was talking to Connie about. Imperfection is required to lose weight.
Okay. I know that's true.
And I'll say this again for everyone because, you know, and I'm reminding myself because I like to call myself a recovering perfectionist. Okay. I thought I had to be perfect to lose weight. No. It's actually the opposite is true. You have to be imperfect to lose weight because you have to make mistakes and learn to be okay with them and move forward. Because if we want to stay perfect, the first time we make a mistake, we're done. Right? And that's mm-hmm. what you've been doing, starting and stopping and starting and stopping.
Right.
So are you willing?
I told myself that I wasn't quitting because I was still filling out the papers yeah. and doing, but I haven't actually been doing the work.
Right.
And
so
it's easier.
Yes. You're moving forward because you're like, okay, I'm still not quitting. I'm not just like, you know, dropping it all and quitting P&P and, you know, going and eating, you know, whatever I want. Right. That's something. So give yourself some credit for that, where it's like, I am still figuring this out. I'm still working on this, but your next step is to start doing some harder stuff, you know, to start doing like when you get home from work and you don't want that thing that you planned, or you're not hungry, let's say, and you have something on your plan, but you're not hungry yet or whatever it is. And it's like, okay, what are you going to say to yourself in the moment to say, okay, I'm willing to feel uncomfortable right now. I'm willing to feel really icky right now because what?
Because I want to lose weight. I want to hit my goal. I mm-hmm. haven't hit a goal that I've set for a month since I started. Mm-hmm. I want to do it.
I want you to come up with as many reasons as you can.
Okay.
Because I want you to, I am willing to sit in discomfort right now.
Okay.
Because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because this is all about your compelling reason, right? This is what this
right.
is.
Which I feel like I have struggled with putting that into words.
Yeah. So that's where you, the book Finish. Have you heard of that book? Yeah.
John Acuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John Acuff. Yeah. And for everybody that, it doesn't come from that book, but, Corinne did a, interview with him, several months ago. I think it was probably before you joined, but you may have watched it, and it's real easy to find on the website. It's pnptribe.com/Acuff, A-C-U-F-F. Okay. We just made it a real easy like link. And somebody can type that in if you want to, but, he talks about compelling reason, but having as many as you can. And that was kind of a new thing for us. Like that was Corinne learned that from him, where it's like, you want to be able to grab, you know, from as many reasons as you can in the moment, because you never know which one will work in the moment or which one won't, you know? And so you just want to have as many as you can. But here's the deal. It's still going to be super uncomfortable. You know, it's still going to be sitting with that urge and allowing that urge. And probably at first kind of white knuckling a little bit through that urge. And, but that is totally normal because it's something new that you're working on and that you're practicing. But when you're able to remind yourself of that compelling reason, then, you know, it helps you just remind you why you're willing to sit with the discomfort.
Okay.
Of the urge. So, Okay. Yeah, so that's, and again, it's just going to take practice. And that means you're not going to succeed every time. You're going to come home and have that, whatever you want, that's not on your plan. You know, sometimes, and that's okay. And the key with that is just saying, okay, this is just part of practice, knowing that I'm not going to be perfect at it. I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm just going to move forward.
Okay.
And not quit. Okay. And do those recovery worksheets. Those are just non-negotiable.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Talk to you later. Okay. Bye. All right. Sunny jump. I don't know. Okay, Sunny, then Wanda, then Cheyenne. And Connie, I think I see you there. You need to take your hand down because I already talked to you. All right. Hi.
Hi, Betsy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you're in the mood to crack skulls today because I think you probably need it. All right, let's do it. I am having some complicated thoughts in my life. I'm almost 40. Mm-hmm. I am a retired roller derby girl. I own my own business. And I'm talking about moving in with my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And I have been on my own in my own house since my 20s. And I have this thought that if I do that, that I am giving up something that like makes me and makes people in the world feel like, look at that girl. She's doing it on her own. She kicks ass. And I know that's a poison thought, but mm-hmm. I think it all the time.
Okay. So what evidence do you have for that thought that makes it true?
I just think my history has been such that, you know, people always say they're really proud of me for all of the things that I've done by myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I'm not doing it on my own anymore, that they would think less of me. I know it's dumb. I just, like I said, I need my skull cracked.
Okay. First off, well, I'm actually going to be nicer on this at first, because quit saying it's dumb. You know, that's the reason that you're having this thought, but then you're like, no, that's dumb. I shouldn't have it. But then you have it again. And no, that's, and so you're just beating yourself up constantly over and over
again.
The first step, and again, I'll be a little nicer. Hello, what's up there? Last two calls. is, you know, it's just like, it's all okay. These are just sentences that come through my mind. And it's just like, it's all okay. I don't have to, I mean, you know, I can hear them, but that's it, right? Like, but I don't even have to hear them, but I can hear them and then just sit and say, okay, that's just something I've thought for a long time. That doesn't mean, and if you think about the model, are you familiar with the model?
Yes. I'm not very good at the model, but I'm familiar with the model.
Well, I may break out my board here in a minute, but if you think about the model where it's like, oh my gosh, I went totally blank. Okay. So like, but you can just think the thought, you know, in the model, and then you can feel, you know, you can feel something if you want to, but you don't have to act on it. And so it's just like, you can kind of stop the model, even at the thought line, you can stop it and just say, oh, I hear this model working. Like I hear this thought going, but I don't think I want to continue on with this model because it's going to probably produce a result I don't want.
Right.
And so you can just even stop it at the T line. And then you can go back and say, okay, what do I want to practice thinking instead? And again, practice. I mean, I just say practice a million times, right? But it's just practicing a new thought. And so I want to talk to you about that, but I also want to talk to you about this, all this stuff about like what other people think and, you know, you're getting in other people's models, right? You're getting all up in their heads.
That is true.
When you don't have any idea what they're thinking and newsflash, it doesn't matter anyway.
That's true. And I try to be really good about that, which is really funny that like, I'm not recognizing that right now because I like, I feel like one of the biggest things I've learned from PMP is like other people's thoughts are not my responsibility. And apparently I just have forgotten to apply that to the situation.
And like, I mean, I can tell like you just want to be this badass woman, right?
A little bit.
Well, the definition of a badass woman, you know, there's different definitions, but I don't think you want that definition to be like, it really matters what other people think.
That's
you
know, true.
It really matters what other people, it's like, no, I think what I want and I do what I want. And if that includes moving in with my boyfriend or, you know, starting my business or what all, I mean, I do what I want and what is best for me.
That is probably exactly what I needed to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So what are you going to practice thinking instead when you, you know, well, do you want to move in with your boyfriend? Are you doing it or not?
Well, he's got a lease for another year. And I've told him, I've flat out been honest with him. I'm like, I'm struggling with this thought. I'm like, and I need to get help on it. And so here I am. He's really fabulous. So yes, okay. But.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I just think, you know, again, if you think about the model, I got to erase. Oh, let me just use my little board here real quick. Because Corinne told us to do more models with y'all. So.
All right.
I'm trying to do my job better. But, so, and we can even put like, so we're talking about like, you have a boyfriend. Yeah. So you have a boyfriend, right?
I do.
And he has, I mean, we could say, you know, he has a lease for another year and you have a house and all this kind of stuff. And then, so I want to go down here with the action, and this is your intentional model. So it's like, you're going to decide what you want to do. With
right.
So that's your result. And it's like, how do you want to think and feel to make a decision that, you know, is best for you?
I think what I need to start thinking is exactly what you said. Like, I do what I want. I've always done what I want. This is no other, you know, this is the same thing that you've always done. So that's not changing.
Right. So how does that thought feel? Like, I do what I want.
That feels way better.
Okay. Like, what's a specific, like, one word feeling?
I feel satisfied with that answer.
Yeah. Satisfied. Okay. And I do what I want. Like, I like that. Like, just like always.
Yes.
Something like that, right? Like, this is no different.
Yep.
And so you, I know there's a glare. I do what I want, just like always, and you feel satisfied. And so you decide from a place of, you know, from this place, right? Where just, you know, confidence, and you know, there can be other feelings there where it's right. Just, you know, self-love and love for him and all that kind of stuff. And so you decide from that place, whatever it is, make the decision, that's your action. And then what would your result be?
The result is that, you know, it just, I feel better about the decision that I'm making because it is what I've always done and what the true source of my confidence is, doing what I want.
Yeah. So you, I mean, really the result is, you know, cause it always goes back up and proves the thought true. And so in short, it's like you do what you want.
Yep.
And that's your result. But yeah. Again, it's like that place that you've always been and that you've always, you know, you're not really even doing anything different. It's just, you know, you're not incorporating what these other people think. Into
right. Making. So. Thank you. That's what I needed.
All right. Well, this was good.
Good.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope. I'm good. Thanks, Betsy.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye. Love that model. Works every time. Okay, well, my friend Wanda is up next. Somebody was talking about you, Wanda. I think it was in a podcast. It was in the podcast. I was just listening to that this morning. You'd submitted a question. There she is. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. No, what's going on?
I think it was the Queen's Club. No, it was the... It was the questions asked
yes.
Podcast.
The Q&A podcast. I just listened to that, like finished that this morning. So okay. I heard you asking that question. So what you got today?
So my question is about goals. So Corinne posted, I think it was yesterday, I'm going to October camp. Mm-hmm. And she posted in October camp, gonna, you know, lose 100 pounds by the October camp. And I hadn't really thought about it, but and then I start percolating about, well, maybe I can. And so I kind of did the math, and I don't know if it's an unrealistic goal. So I've lost 57 pounds so far, 25 of those pounds since April camp. Mm-hmm. And so in order to lose the 100 pounds by October camp, I will have to lose 43 pounds. Mm-hmm. And so I did the math. It's like 10 weeks between now and October camp. And I don't know if that's an unrealistic goal to think that I could lose 43 pounds by October camp.
So let's start here. So what if it's unrealistic? So what?
Then it's just like another goal that I didn't meet, you know, because like I said in April camp that I would lose 30 pounds by July 12th. I think that was around the date that, well, actually it was April camp was the first of April. So, and I didn't hit that goal, you know, at the time.
So you didn't hit that goal. So what?
Yeah. I was a little disappointed that I didn't hit the goal.
But how much weight did you lose?
At that time, so now it's 25 pounds. So at that time, at the beginning of April, it was like 21 pounds.
Right. Yeah. Like you lost 21 pounds still. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And like, I mean, if you hadn't set that goal, that big goal, you may not have lost, you know, the 21 pounds.
Okay.
So I just think because I don't know, I'm just a big believer on setting goals. Like meeting the goal is a very small part of setting goals, like actually meeting it. You know, a lot of people don't meet goals that they set, mm-hmm. but it's about like striving for that goal and, you know, becoming like a new person trying to go for that goal. And like, that's the bigger part of it, in my opinion. I mean, you can set whatever goal you want. But you just want to set a goal from a place of like, I'm just all about like doing the best I can. Because who knows? Like, who knows if your body is even capable of losing the 43, is it 43 pounds? I mean, like, you don't know. Like, we cannot predict.
Right.
We cannot predict if your body will release 43 pounds of weight between now and October. But why not just go for it and then decide ahead of time that instead of disappointment, if you don't get there, how do you want to feel? Like it probably, I mean, how did it feel to feel disappointed when you got, you know, when you didn't reach the 30 pound goal?
It felt, you know, defeating. And I guess part of it is my whole process about this weight loss. Cause like, I feel like I kind of don't celebrate the weight that I'm losing. Cause I like, it's like weight I already lost. And I feel like, you know my story, I lost 170 pounds and then mm-hmm. I gained back 140. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just like retreading the same, you know, losing the same weight that I already
see, and if you keep going like that and thinking like that, that you're just making up for all this weight that you gained, right?
Yeah.
Like continuing to think that, Wanda, is dangerous.
Okay.
That you're just thinking like, I've got to make up for, you know, me just screwing it up last time, right?
What I really didn't want to start counting the weight until I get past the new weight.
No. God, you got to celebrate every pound, every half a pound.
Yeah.
See, that's what's going to keep you going, right?
Okay.
And so it's like, you have got to just drop that story. What if I told you this? What if I told you that you were absolutely supposed to gain back that 140 pounds?
Oh, I have a hard time accepting that.
But you did. The reason I know that you were supposed to is because you did. Okay. Like that is part of your past. And if you are just going to keep living in your past and regretting your past, it is going to be, I mean, you're moving forward, which is great, mm-hmm. but you could move forward so much easier and probably faster if you just decided that this is your moment right here. This is your time and the past is gone. I mean, it is over with, and you were absolutely supposed to gain that weight back because you were supposed to lose it in the right way this time.
Okay.
You know, because I mean, how did you lose all that weight last time?
Well, first of all, I did it at a snail's pace. I did it from 2008 to 2016, mm-hmm. but I had periods of when I really stepped it up and did more activities. But I've always been, when I go into Weight Watchers and mm-hmm. I still go to Weight Watchers, mm-hmm. because not so much to follow the diet, but just the, you know, support, like support, I get from PNP. And just, you know, doing massive amount of activity too. And that's mm-hmm. another problem I have. Because I lament that I can't do all of the stuff that I was doing, which mm-hmm. Facebook reminds me every day. Because at one time I was, you know, training for a half marathon, and mm-hmm. I did these daily posts to my public Facebook page, which I don't do anymore, of course. Mm-hmm. And you know how you have the memories, you know, every
day. Well, turn those things off.
Come up where it's like I've done two, three, and four things in one day, and mm-hmm. I can't do any of that now. I shouldn't say any of it, but I'm doing very little compared to what I was doing.
Well, I know you're swimming and doing a bunch of, you know, doing stuff now, but here's the thing. It's like, it's up to you whether you turn those memories off or not, but it's like, that either if they're not motivating you, you know, if they're just causing you to beat yourself down, turn them off.
It motivates me a little bit. I look at I had some of the same issues, the knee pain and all of that, prior to doing all of that stuff, mm-hmm. and I was able to get over it and do it.
How do you want to think every time you see one of those memories? How do you want to think about it now instead of, oh, I can't do all that stuff, you know, right now?
I try to tell myself that I'll get back to it. So like today, I had took my bike to the bike shop to get it, you know, a tune up and stuff. And I just went and picked it up a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And I have a little anxiety about getting back on the bike and riding out there. But I was like, I'm just going to do it. Even if I just ride, you know, just down the street, I'm just going to get on it and do it.
Okay. Okay. So that's what I want you to take from those memories. Right. Is that, you know, I can do that again. By just going, I can do that again.
Right.
But I want, when you hear your brain going to, oh, you know, I gained all that weight back and I should have been able to do all this stuff now and I can't, you know, you got to shut that down.
Okay.
Because that is where those little quits are going to come in. You know, when you start beating yourself up and you say, nope, now I'm not thinking like that. I'm thinking I am getting there now. Because I am doing this. And so I wanted to go back to, I mean, you were meant to gain the weight back because you weren't losing it the way you were going to live it the rest of your life. Yeah. And so this is that's what you're doing now.
Right.
And
okay.
So you are right where you need to be, right where you need to weigh, right. You know, today sitting here.
Right.
And you're just moving forward with, you know, the four basics and the exercise and just, you know, right where you need to be. You are right. I mean, what if you just thought like, oh my gosh, I'm right where I need to be right now.
All right. I don't know if I want to, cause like, you know, so many things, you know, I'm not working because of where I am now and all of that brings painful memories to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I'm like pushing myself to try to get prepared to go back to working. Mm-hmm. And so if I think that I'm right where I want to need to be, then.
I mean, and that doesn't mean you stay there though, right? That means that you, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you right where you need to be and you need to just stay there. Okay. But like sitting here today at 12:45 PM is right where you need to be. And then you keep moving forward. Okay. Right. I mean, right. You know, I'm right where I need to be now and I'm moving forward and tomorrow I'll be a little bit farther along and that'll be where I need to be.
Okay.
It's just not wishing that you were, you know, where you were 100 and some pounds ago or, where you want to be, you know, and focusing on the future, right?
Okay,
the future
right.
Is where you want to be going. So you right. don't want to be visiting the past. You know, Corinne okay. says, you know, the past is not our fortune teller, and you don't want to be like you're borrowing from your future to go back to your past. You just want to stay right. out of your past because okay. it's already over and done with.
All right.
There's nothing you can do to change it. So,
all right. So you don't take it as a lofty goal.
So getting back to this goal,
okay.
I mean, again, it's up to, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but all I'm saying okay. is why not? Why all not? Right. And then then go ahead and prepare yourself. Say, okay, I mean, I'm going to go with everything I have for this goal.
Okay.
I'm going to go for everything I have with this goal. And I am going to be right where I need to be on October, whatever day that is. And I'm just going to go for it.
Okay.
And then I'm going to decide that wherever I end up, that's exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Okay.
And I am, and instead of disappointed, I'm going to feel accomplished and I'm going to feel amazing. And I'm going to feel just so happy that I went for a goal and this is right where I need to be.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I'll do.
Okay. All right, Wanda. See you later. Okay. Bye. All right. Can't wait to see her at camp again. All right. Cheyenne. Hello.
Hi, let me change spots. I didn't realize the sun was so okay. bright.
And everybody else, y'all get in line. Get in line for coaching. Okay. How are you? What's up?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. Good.
So my question today is I do really well with waiting until hunger to eat. Mm-hmm. I joined in June. Mm-hmm. So my question is, I need help with the physical sensation of feeling full. What does it feel like to you? Just so I have an idea or an example. Because okay. what I've been doing is I look at my fist, because I've always been told that my fist is about the size of what my stomach is when it's not full. So I try to gauge my food on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that just because that may not be absolutely accurate. I mean, and okay. that's something that's looking like outside of yourself for, okay. to measure your, and first off, we're not looking for full, right? We're looking for right. satisfied.
And so what does that feel like to you? I mean, I know okay. that there's, Corinne says that she's got like a sigh,
right.
but I feel like sometimes when I drink water, I feel full and I'm like, oh shoot, did I overeat after when I drank the water?
Right. Right. So first off, I mean, it is just, a process of trial and error, which means you're going to make errors, right? You're going to go over your plus two. And it's a process of just kind of curiosity. And it's something that is just a lifelong, kind of practice, right?
Okay.
And so for me, I find that, it can be kind of a physical symptom sometimes, and it's different. It's not the same every meal or every day.
Okay.
But there's physical symptoms, but then there's also mental things that go on, which is, okay. I think, really interesting. And like I'm thinking about when I just ate my salad before I came on here. And it was like when I start to think, like, am I done? Like, do I really need to eat these last few bites? That is kind of a signal of like, okay, yeah, you're finished. Or like when my mind kind of starts to wander and I'm just like sitting there kind of like picking at my food and I know that I'm done at that point.
Okay.
But here's the deal. I mean, it's kind of a process. So like the best way to kind of figure this out, and again, it's different, and I'll tell you about some other things that happened with me too, but you want to be as have as little distractions as possible. I will be fully honest with you all. I was sitting in front of the TV when I was eating my salad. So it's not like I sit in this little room, in pure silence. I mean, I, live my life and sometimes I eat in front of the TV, and that is probably not the best thing for me to do, right? But I have done a lot of practicing where I can still listen to my brain and things like that. But okay, especially at first, you want to have as few distractions as possible, you know, no TV, no phone, no computer or whatever. And then you also want to practice eating as slowly as possible. I mean, slower. And again,
that's part of it too.
Yes. Because I mean, and so what you can do there is, actually somebody had done a post in Facebook this morning about it, where you like eat with your non-dominant hand, you know, like okay, you eat with your other hand, you focus on putting your fork down between bites. And, you know, all of this will also just help you stay undistracted because you're having to focus on doing
that's a good point.
Right. and then, or you can focus on, kind of, you know, chewing a certain, you know, number of times or just chewing your food more because we just, you know, tend to kind of gobble it down. And so all that kind of stuff that will just kind of get you slower, eating slower, will help your body kind of catch up with your brain in terms okay of, you know, measuring when you do get satisfied. So anyway, yeah, kind of mental things. It's like when you start to question, like, am I at my plus two or not? Or should I eat these last couple of bites? That's probably a sign. Okay. I definitely do get the sigh sometimes. But I also just feel a little bit of, you know, kind of pressure, you know, like, you know, the fullness in your stomach. I feel a little bit of that pressure sometimes.
Like,
you know,
just starting, right?
It's just starting. Exactly. Okay. Like, it's not, you know,
full-blown, you just stopped yourself.
Yes, yes. I mean, okay, it's way on back there. You know, it is just a little bit of pressure. That's the only way I can kind of describe it. And so it's okay, like, yeah, because, I mean, I find that, I mean, sometimes if I feel that pressure, like before I stop eating, I might, you know, after I stop eating, you know, my food still is kind of going down and I'm probably a little bit beyond plus two, you know, sometimes.
Okay, okay.
And so it's like, sometimes when I feel the pressure, that's almost, you know, kind of too late and I've probably gotten to plus three or something. But again, it's like, okay, I'm at plus three at this meal. I'm not going to, you know, throw in the towel. I'm not going to beat myself up. This is just a learning experience that I need to, you know, stop a little bit sooner. And another thing that I mean, I always, it's so interesting because it has become a habit. Like, I don't even think about it anymore. I leave food behind every single time, no matter what, even if I'm not
trying to do that.
Yes. Like, even if I'm not at plus two, I literally leave, like, sometimes it's like a little bitty morsel, but okay, I just, like, I have gotten into this habit where I do not clean my plate ever. Because I want to just remind myself that there's always more food available to me, that I do not, you know, have to clean my plate. And so even if, like, I may even not even be at plus two, but I just am like, I don't have to clean my plate anymore. That's just something I don't do anymore. And so, and that little bitty bite I left behind is not going to make a difference, all that much difference between, right, you know, plus whatever. And so that's just something I've started doing. And that has let me kind of like, well, if I'm going to leave a bite behind, even just today with the salad, I was like, I've got three or four bites and I don't need them. And so it helps you kind of realize that there's always more food available, that it's okay to throw away a food, because, you know, all those kind of thoughts can be wrapped up in when you decide to stop or not, you know. And if you have drama around leaving food or throwing food away or things like that, then
that would help with that.
Yes. That would help with that. You know, it's all connected. Okay. And so, yeah. So
and
what
then question? I have one other question. Okay. Do you drink water before, or do you wait and drink after you've eaten? Do you wait after you've eaten a little bit?
No, I've seen some questions like in Ask Coaches and stuff about that, where I almost think it's just, it affects some people more than it does others. Okay. I don't find that, I don't even think about like when I'm drinking water or not. I mean, you know, I don't intentionally not drink water or drink water, you know, at certain times of the day. And so, you know, it could be affecting my hunger levels, but I don't know.
Not hurt you any.
Yeah. And so, I wouldn't overthink that too much. But if you're finding that you're just The deal is, here's the deal. So a meal eaten to plus two should last you at least 3 to 4 hours. And right. So if you are not, you know, if you're getting hungry before that, then you're probably not eating, you know, to your true plus two. And
because here's why I notice it the most, because mm-hmm. I really don't like the idea of snacking. Mm-hmm. I listened to the obesity code and it mm-hmm. really kind of changed my outlook on snacking. Mm-hmm. So I usually eat lunch about two. I go at one, but I just grab food and don't eat it until I get hungry at work. Mm-hmm. But then I don't get home until after six. And then I do my 20-minute workout and then mm-hmm. I'm like ready to eat. But mm-hmm. at that point, I'm so hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of the hunger. It doesn't bother me. I just know that I'm really hungry, mm-hmm. but I don't want to overeat either. Right. So that's
yeah, and that's the thing about like, no matter where you are on the negative side of the hunger scale, it's not going to take more food to get you to a plus two.
Right.
But it's just, you know, it's really mental. It's like when you get beyond a minus, you know, three, minus four on the hunger scale, your brain starts going right. Like, we're hungry. Oh my God, what's going to happen? Are we going to die? You know, are we going to starve to death? And that's when, you know, we start, these justifications start sneaking in about like eating more than we usually do. And yes. So that's just takes practice where it's like, I'm not, okay. you know, any, I don't need any more food than I normally would. So it's like, you just have to practice kind of staying slowly eating, you know, cause I okay. mean, you know, cause when you're at a negative three, negative four or beyond, you know, you want to gobble it up and it's like,
yes. And that's what I noticed.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to just switch to my left hand cause I'm right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll really help. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just, I think I'll try to make sure that I don't get to that. What was, you said the pressure that was, yeah, that's something I think I'll look for. Okay. Yeah. Cause I was like, I just need somebody to tell me somebody else's physical symptom so that I can get a good idea.
And there's also, in OBS, there is in the Fresh Start module, there's a hunger scale worksheet where it gives you like the physical, like common physical sensations at the different levels of the hunger scale. And then also like thoughts that you're thinking on different level, you know, that you could be thinking on different okay. levels of the hunger scale. So go back and look at that. And there's one that has it filled out already, just kind of like common things. And then then there's a blank one where you can fill it out for yourself.
Okay. Okay.
And so, that's real handy because you can just kind of keep that blank one. And then at every meal, you can kind of just start tracking like what you do feel, or you can do it in your planner or whatever. But yeah, you want to start tracking that so that you can kind of remember like, oh yeah, I felt that way. And that meal, and you want to, and you can also start tracking like the times, right? Like how long the meals are lasting you or keeping you satisfied. Oh. And then, so then like you can think about, you know, how you felt, but then also what foods you were eating that kept you satisfied longer. You know, that's good to know too. You want to be doing plenty of healthy fats, you know, that keep you satisfied, you know, keep you satisified longer.
I've noticed that too. Cause I was like, oh, protein, protein, protein. But for my body, I noticed that like, if I put the heavy cream in my coffee, I feel fuller longer.
Yes.
So for me, I know it's the healthy fat. So that's been really helpful as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So just stay curious with all that. And just kind of over time, you'll kind of figure out what works for you. And then every once in a while, you'll eat past your plus two or whatever. And that's okay. And it's just like, okay, you know, move on to the next meal.
Adjust.
Yeah. I mean, adjust so much, but then just be like, you know what? It's not going to ever be perfect. It's not, you know, mistakes are part of the process, and just, you know, learn what you can, but then move forward without, you know, beating yourself up and that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
All right. This is a good question. All right. Talk to you later. Okay.
All right, bye. Bye.
Hunger scale. Okay. Carol is up next. Hi.
Oh, hi.
There you are. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Good. What's up?
Okay. So the history of the last week is that I have had lots of overeats and unplanned eats, and I've done most of my recovery sheets, and I feel like I'm back on plan now. Mm-hmm. The thing is that I am trying to get out of the habit of secret eating, and mm-hmm. I'm debating on whether or not to do a planned overeat tomorrow night. And so I'm hoping that maybe you can help me kind of walk through the thought process behind it.
Okay.
My husband will be, go ahead.
Well, go ahead. Yeah. First tell me kind of about what you've done in the past with your secret eating and stuff.
Okay. I mean, it is, if I'm driving down the road, you know, I'll stop and I'll get candy bars or something, or even if I'm going to the store to get ice cream for my husband and me, I will also get a little Debbie bar and eat it in the car on the way home, and then sit in front of my husband and eat the pint of ice cream in addition to.
So why do you think you're doing that?
Oh, I mean, it's obvious there. I mean, like, logically, I know that there are thoughts driving it. Mm-hmm. I haven't uncovered those thoughts yet. Mm-hmm. I'm working through it, but mm-hmm. I do know that my thoughts are what drive mm-hmm. that action. Mm-hmm. So I get that, but my pattern is typically that I'll do that, and then I'll get back on plan and stay on plan for weeks or months even. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, it all goes out and I do what I call my mini binges. So mm-hmm. that leads me back to, my husband is going to be gone and mm-hmm. I'm back on plan, but I've been like in my head planning this overeat of homemade Rice Krispie treats, like laying it all out there and just putting it on a plan, sitting at the table and making them homemade and just going face down at them. But then the other part of me is like, but you're back on plan now, and this doesn't help you get to your goals. So that's kind of,
but I don't even see this as, I mean, I thought you were going to say like, you're going to eat all this stuff in front of your husband.
Oh no, he's going to be gone.
That's still hiding.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's definitely a planned secret eat over.
Okay.
For
okay.
Sure. Yeah.
So how is it? So it's different just because it's on the plan.
Right. And that's what I'm thinking of it as, a planned overeat.
Okay.
Even though
okay.
it would be in secret. So.
Okay. Okay. Cause there's, we kind of got two things going on here. We got the overeating and then we've got the secret.
Yes.
But it's like, you're just kind of addressing the overeating right now.
Do you think that that's what I should address, or do you think I should address the secret eating? Like, which do you think I should focus on?
Well, I think both. I mean, like, I think those are both two things to work on, because you're still like, you're eating when you're not putting it on the plan, mm-hmm. you're eating behind your own back, right?
Absolutely. You know,
and so that's kind of what this would be just mm-hmm. to kind of practice coming, you know, becoming honest with yourself and honest with your plan, you know, with your plan, that this is what, you know, I'm choosing to do.
Right.
And I think another piece of work for you is to, like, when you come home from getting the ice cream, you tell your husband that you ate this on the way home.
Okay.
Now, why do you make that face?
Because I make it mean that he would think that I, and he has never given me any indication, this is all my thoughts, that I'm disgusting and have no control over myself. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I make it mean. Yeah. But he has never once said anything like that. So it's all my thoughts.
And yeah, I mean, you have a lot of shame around what you're doing.
Oh. Yes. And yeah. I've been getting better with the not beating myself up and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just working on that judgment aspect.
Yeah.
So Purby's calls are always super helpful. I go back and re-listen mm-hmm. to those. It took me a while to understand the difference between beating yourself up and then the judging the overeat. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm good with not beating myself up, but the judgment of it, I mm-hmm. still is definitely.
Well, tell me what the difference is. Tell me what the difference is.
To me, the beating myself up, it really comes down to calling myself names, to me implies beating myself up. Whereas the judgment is that was wrong. I should not have done that mm-hmm. shoulding thing. You know, to me, that's the difference, the distinction that I've made.
Okay. And it's, I mean, it's okay if it works for you, but I mean, I see that as the very same, like you're judging yourself both ways, because you saying this is wrong, I mean, means that like I'm doing something wrong and I must be a bad person, or I must not know what the right thing to do is, or I must not, you know, choose to do the right thing.
Okay. That's interesting, because I had thought that I had made that distinction, but I suppose that I need to give that a little bit more thought.
Because, like, I mean, thinking that you're doing something wrong is just another form of judgment.
So then what is the difference between the beating yourself up and then judging the overeat?
I don't see it as any different, because the overeat is a choice that you make. And so if you're judging the overeat, you're judging yourself for making the choice to overeat.
Okay. So then where's the line between that and it being okay to be disappointed in the choice that you've made, because it, you know, keeps you from meeting your goal or whatever? Like, there, the distinction between disappointment in the choice versus judging the choice.
You can feel disappointed, but if you think about the model, you familiar with the model? Like, if you think about the feeling of disappointed, you know, that comes from a thought, right? And so the thought needs to be something that is, like, not judgmental, right? It needs to be something like, you know, it just needs to be a thought like, I want to be, you know, I want to make a different choice next time. Or, you know, it just needs to be some sort of thought that doesn't have judgment in it.
Okay.
And that creates disappointment. And then the action is that you, you know, it's, you know, you, is that you just feel the disappointment, you know, you just feel that. And then you, you know, you, like, you do your recovery worksheet and you, you know, process it and figure out what you would do differently, but you don't make it mean anything about you as a person.
Okay. And, but I don't think that I do. Like, I don't think that I'm a bad person. I just think I made, well, I guess I do, because the next thing I was about to say was, I just think I made the wrong choice. So.
Right. And you're assuming that that choices are right and wrong. Yeah.
Right.
And choices are just choices. They're totally neutral.
Okay.
And, okay. So, because, I mean, you can put your choice up in the circumstance line and then you get to, you know, choose. But yeah, somebody says there's a difference between judging and beating yourself up. I don't think there is. I mean, I think that's the same thing. You know, okay. You're beating yourself up by judging yourself and saying things about yourself that, you know, that you're bad and things like that.
Okay.
So
for Sunday night.
Okay.
So should I do this?
Yes.
Not should.
No. Well, I think, so again, I just think it's two different things. I think for you, planning the overeat is a way that you are practicing eating, you know, not eating behind your own back, in terms of, like, I am choosing to do this and it's on my plan. And I really think that it will, that, you know, the whole point of planning an overeat or a binge is to, you know, bring it into the conscious, right? Like, when you're, I don't know about you, but, like, when I binge and stuff, it's in the car and it's just, like, hand to mouth, and it's totally, like, I'm zoned out. Yes. I'm not even, it's not conscious, you know, it's right. Not a full on thing. And so, so when you plan it, it's like, okay, we're doing this, and, you know, and you practice kind of making it conscious. And you know, probably it's not going to be near as, you know, fun. It's not going to be near as, you know, you're not going to be zoning out, you know, it's just like all this food sitting here. But that's, I mean, but the actual act of doing that is the powerful thing, you know? And so, yes, absolutely. I recommend that you do it. But then I think another step on down the line is to start being honest with your husband, about what you're doing. And I, it's so funny that you came on. It just gives me chills, because I am doing this work right now where I literally had an overeat yesterday, and I didn't tell my husband about it. I came home, ate dinner with him, and, because I, you know, I just didn't, I wanted to just
hide it.
I wanted to hide it. And then I didn't want, you know, to rock the boat, and I didn't want him to know, even though I talked to him about it today. You know, I, you know, got honest with him today, and he's like, I knew something was going on. I mean, he's my husband. He knows me. You know, it's not like we're fooling ourselves when we think, you know, we've got this big secret we're hiding. Right. And because, you know, I'm snapping at him and all this kind of stuff, right? I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's, we're not fooling anybody, but it is hard. It is hard at first. I mean, because we have this shame, and when we bring it out into the light, you know, we have to feel the shame for a minute. And mm-hmm. It's hard, it's required to get that out. And then when you bring it out into the light, I always just say, like, you take the power away from the food and from the binge when you are open about it. And it just takes the oxygen out of it. You know, it takes the power away, and you're able to just see it as, literally like 3 hours ago, I was just able to just sit there with him. And I told him what I did, and he's like, okay, you know, it's like, it's so dramatic in our head.
Yes.
And when we share it and other people can see it, you know, objectively, it just helps us so much. And so, you know, I'm right there with you. So it's, you know, it's hard and it's awkward and it's all that icky stuff. But when you, after you do it, you're like, okay, I can live, you know, honestly. I don't have to hold all this stuff inside.
Right.
And so, you know, that's work for you to do when you're ready to do it.
Okay.
But start with this planned overeat and go from there. But yeah, so it's like you're becoming honest with yourself first, and then becoming honest with others is the next step.
Okay. So one last quick question then. If I'm going to, I am going to do it on Sunday, should I do, like, I've been going back and forth between this or like ice cream or brownies or something, like, how do I decide what to put on the plan when I know it's the Rice Krispie treats, first of all, but.
Well, I mean, it's like what you would normally, you know, I mean, not, well, it's what you, you know, what you want to overeat. And have you done the Tedious and Powerful worksheet?
No, but I was thinking about doing it.
Oh, do it. Oh my gosh. Do it. Do that. Okay. Cause it's kind of a, I mean, I think you're ready. You can do that. I mean, it's kind of like a guided planned overeat. Okay. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like, you know, you literally analyze every bite of the stuff. And so it's just like, it's so, I mean, the reason it's called, I mean, it's tedious, but it's so powerful because you just, you know, well, I want you to go through it. And then I want you to, somehow let me know, tag me on Facebook or come back on here or something.
Okay.
Let me know how it went. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you. And enjoy Vegas.
Okay. Thank you. Bye. Okay. It's called the Tedious and Powerful Worksheet, y'all. It is on the worksheets page. Let's see, toolkit, worksheets and workbooks. And you go down on the right-hand side, and it says Tedious and Powerful Worksheet. Use with foods you think you can't control yourself. You can't control yourself to gain awareness of taste and thoughts. Oh my gosh, y'all, it's amazing. It is amazing. And choose something that you just like, you know, that's your jam, just your jam. I've done it with Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I've done it with Cheez-Its. I've done it. What else have I done it with? Oh, like a cheeseburger and fries. The first time I did it was a cheeseburger and fries. But it's like, I don't want to give it away. I don't want to tell you my experience because y'all have to go through it yourselves to see. Okay. All right. I think it's Sean. I'm not sure. How do you pronounce your name? Shonda? Hello? Are you there? Hello? Are you there? I can't see you. and I don't hear anything. Hello? Anybody else that wants to get coached, raise your hand. Y'all can also put questions in the Q&A, but I would love to coach you one-on-one. Shonda, I don't know if it's, I'm not hearing you or seeing you. So I'm going to take you back, and then you can try to raise your hand again if you can. Are you there? Thought I heard something. Oh, I hear a little bit of something. Are you there? Hello? I don't know if she knows she's on. I'm taking her back. Okay. Laurie Ann. Here's a question. I am not frequently eating sweets since that is what I want to do a tedious and powerful worksheet on. How do I make it both an exception and the worksheet experience? Let's just pull up this tedious and powerful worksheet. It says, be sure to do this exercise alone at a table in the quiet. No distractions. This does not take the place of an exception meal or food. Laurie Ann was saying, how do I make this both an exception and the worksheet experience? It's not an exception. Because it is a learning experience. And so making it an exception kind of adds like a layer of other drama to it. So you just need to just plan it as a tedious and powerful worksheet experience, and then you plan an exception some other time. Okay. I thought that was the answer, but I'm glad I clicked on the worksheet because that, I'll just tell y'all real quick kind of how it works. I mean, it's not a secret, but you pick a food that you really like and that you think you don't have control over. You think that you just tend to overeat, right? And you sit at a table alone with as few distractions as possible. And then you just answer all these questions about it. Like you describe the food in detail, the look, the smell, the texture, the color of it. It's such a fascinating exercise, I'm telling you. And then you talk about how you're feeling before the food, whether it's like, you know, for me, I remember when I was doing like the cheeseburger and fries, it was like giddy and excited and, you know, I was really looking forward to it. And then you start taking bites and you take a bite, you stop eating, and then you describe it in detail, the bite. Like the, you know, how it feels in your mouth, the taste, the texture, all of that kind of stuff. And you do that for every bite until you stop enjoying it or you run out of food. And again, it's a different experience for each person and for each type of food. You never know what's going to happen. And that's what makes it so interesting and fun because, sometimes people like finish the whole thing and they're like, I want more, you know, and other times it's a different experience. And so it is just, and then afterwards you answer a bunch of questions. Like, did all the bites taste the same? Did the food start to taste less pleasurable or more pleasurable as you ate? When did you stop eating? Where are you on the hunger scale? All kinds of stuff. And so, we might need to edit this worksheet a little bit. It's a little funky. It's kind of got some spaces in there, but anyway, so that's the tedious and powerful worksheet. So, I just encourage all of you all to do it because again, if there is some food that you think that you just can't control, you know, you can't control the amount and the, you know, you don't know why. You can't just stop eating it at a certain time. You know, when you get to a plus two, that is what you want to do it on. Okay. Michelle says, I'm starting no sugar, no flour. I've done it before. I know it's my protocol. Just curious how you do salad dressing. Do you read labels or just allow some sugar in your condiments? Yes. So I am no sugar, no flour. I do not worry about small amounts of sugar in things. I just decided from the very start that I was not going to get all anal about, you know, I mean, I think in the no sugar, no flour course, I think it's like 5 to 6 grams of added sugar is kind of the, you know, there are no rules, right? You set your own protocol, but the suggestion is that like you try to stick to 5 or 6 grams or below of added sugars. But I make my own salad dressing, Michelle, with, like that Hidden Valley Ranch mix. That is my jam, is the Hidden Valley Ranch, like powder mix. I mean, it's probably got some chemicals and stuff in it. And then you add a cup of mayonnaise and a cup of milk to it. And, you know, I use full fat mayonnaise and full fat milk. And that is the salad dressing I usually use. I also have like a vinaigrette with that's like a packet that I mix with olive oil and vinegar. I actually ate that today with my salad. So those are my salad dressings. Pre-made salad dressings do have additional sugar in them. You just check the labels. But again, like even with recipes, like, I'll make like pad thai sometimes and the sauce will have some sugar in it, like, you know, a tablespoon or something. And it's just like, I don't freak out over small amounts of sugar in things like that, because I mean, that's a whole recipe. That's like multiple servings and it's a tablespoon of sugar or something like that. But I always cut back the sugar in recipes, like with soups or sauces and things like that. You usually never need as much sugar as they say. So if it's something that requires like 3 tablespoons of sugar, I'll just put 1 in there. And I find that that's plenty for me. So just don't overthink it. Don't get too caught in the weeds with, you know, label reading and all that kind of stuff. I mean, like you want to just check the labels. I mean, cause it's fascinating to read how much sugar is in things that you don't even think about. Bacon, ketchup, like tomato sauce. I hadn't bought tomato sauce in a long time, like, you know, jarred tomato sauce, like ragu or whatever. Some of those have a lot of added sugar in them. And so I found a jar last night actually at the store that just didn't have any added sugar. I mean, tomatoes have a lot of natural sugar in them, but it didn't have any added sugar. And so you want to check the added sugar for sure. Because I mean, a lot of foods, I mean, I do fruit, you know, all kinds of things that have natural sugar in them. But I don't do honey or anything that's like a concentrate or like dried fruit or things that are concentrated versions of with sugar, just because that's real concentrated. Okay. Elizabeth, you're up next. Hi. Hi, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I I've been in the tribe since April. Mm-hmm. I think that things have been going pretty good. But I find that it's pretty easy, like during the week when I just have a very specific work schedule. And it's been easy for me not to go off plan, you know, during the work week. You know, on the weekends, it's been a little bit more difficult for me, but I've been working on that, doing a lot of, you know, models and that type of thing to try to address things that come up. But I recently, I'm going to be changing jobs, and I went to a training yesterday, and I realized that, so with this new job, I'll be traveling just a little bit more. It's also located in areas where like food is more readily available. Like with my other job, I would go to work. There was no place you could stop on the way or on the way home for food, and which has been an issue, you know, like previously. And so, you know, yesterday I had this training and I stopped and I got a coffee on the way just because I had more time. And I didn't want to show up too early. And then at lunch, I had planned on eating out and making a best choice, but I don't really feel like it was, you know, the best choice I could have made. And so it just started, I kind of started spiraling a little bit, thinking about, oh no, like now I've got this new job and I will be in these situations, you know, every day. And now I'm like, I'm not sure like where to start to try to help be successful in this too. You know, it's like, I feel like I need to create a new protocol and go through the urges again. And
maybe so, right?
So I'm just like, I feel like I feel like it's so new. It's a different, totally different situation. I feel like I have to do it. I have to start all over again. And so that's kind of got me just not knowing where might be the best place to start.
Okay. Well, first off, I mean, you don't have to start all over again, right? I mean, your brain's just going, you know, kind of just going and kind of freaking out, right? And so it's just like, you don't want to go down that road because then you'll get overwhelmed and want to quit and things like that. But I do want to I want to commend you for just becoming aware of all of this so quickly, right? I mean, you did, you know, you went there once and you realized that, wait a minute, this is something I need to address. And so it's like, it didn't, you know, it may have caught you off guard at first, but it's like you really kind of became aware very quickly. So that's really good. It's like, okay, you know what you need to work on, right? And so are you familiar with the model?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to do another model because I think this is a really good example of kind of thinking that I don't know that you're doing this, but of thinking that, like, you know, you have a change in circumstance, right?
Yes.
Where you have this new job.
Yes.
And so, it's like, you know, new job in a new location, right? With different, with more options for food. That's kind of all included up here is
yes.
that, you know, and so, but you're thinking that that is what is causing you. I mean, let me just finish and then we'll kind of talk, but it's like, what I heard was that you're thinking like, that's what is causing you to like make different choices in terms of your food, but there's this thought and feeling in between. Right. And so, I'll just put, food choices down here that like yesterday you said, you know, you made a choice that you wouldn't have normally made. Right. I mean, in terms of your, you know, off your plan or just not as healthy or things like that. And so gain weight eventually is probably going to be the result, right? Okay. So what was going on yesterday in here that caused you to make the different food choice? Because again, it wasn't the new job. It wasn't the location. You were thinking something.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was thinking that's an option, you know, like there's Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
I usually don't drive by Starbucks. So I think that those were some of the thoughts, you know, that were going on just that. And then past that, I think I started having thoughts of like, oh crap, I can't trust myself to make the right decisions.
Right. I think, you know, it's like when you kind of dig deeper, right? It's like, you know, again, like restaurants, you know, on the way to work, all of that is just the circumstance. But you made all of that mean that I'm not going to be able to, you know, what did you just say? I'm not going to.
I can't trust myself.
I can't trust myself.
To make the right decisions. Yeah.
Okay. When it's so interesting, because again, when you were, I mean, at your old job, it wasn't the fact that you didn't have, you know, options around you that led you to stay on your plan. I mean, what was that? What was that thought?
Yeah, I mean, I still could have driven a different way to work and still have gone, you know, past multiple places.
Right.
I think that I have tried really hard to remain focused.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, you know, specifically plan, like, I know I'm going to be hungry when I come, you know, get off of work, and I am just going to go straight home, you know? So I did kind of, I guess, try to create in my plan, you know, decisions that mm-hmm. would be supportive of weight loss.
Yeah. And so, and that's, again, you know, all of that led you to follow your plan and all of that. But let's finish this one out first. When you think, I can't trust myself, how do you feel?
I feel scared and overwhelmed. Yeah.
And that, yeah, and so that leads you to make, you know, off plan choices.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you feel all this stuff and you don't, you know, and you don't want to feel all this stuff. None of this stuff is super fun to feel. Instead of feeling all that stuff about, you know, this new job and these new places around, then you get an urge to eat and you respond to the urge. So that's the unintentional model.
Yeah.
So I want you to take what we can even keep the food choices, because it'll be different food choices, right? It'll be like on plan food choices for the intentional. So what can you learn from what's been working for you? I mean, because.
I've been making good choices for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I know how to make good choices.
I know how to make good choices. Love it. Like, I know how to make good choices no matter what. Like, no matter what is, you know, what building is across the street, right? I mean, that's literally just a circumstance, is that there's a building across the street that makes food of some sort. Okay, so how does that feel? I know how to make good choices no matter what.
Yeah, that feels, what's the word I'm looking for? Not just, I mean, it feels empowering. It feels, it reminds me that I'm strong.
Yes, strong. I mean, what's so interesting is like, there's nothing that you need to change, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, this is the only thing that changed, right?
Yeah.
And your brain was probably, well, your brain was telling you, oh my God, we got to change everything. We got to go back to the beginning. We got to relearn no BS. We got to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what's so interesting is that you absolutely don't change anything. And when, you know, the only thing that does change is that you're driving by these restaurants, and that's when you practice these thoughts and feelings, right? You practice like, no, I know what to do.
Yeah.
Literally the only difference is like the proximity of these restaurants. I could have like driven to these whenever I wanted, and I didn't. I chose not to because I know how to make good choices.
Yeah. Look at me. I now have all of these new opportunities to show how strong I am and to make good choices. Wow.
That is an amazing thought. I was about to say that because these are all these buildings are your opportunity.
Yeah.
To practice these thoughts and practice what you already know is that
so fortunate. Grateful.
Yes. this new job, everything is happening for you, right? I mean,
wow.
True.
That's a good thought.
It's all happening for, like, this is your next work, you know, to do. I mean, you know, probably professionally and personally with your weight loss. It's so interesting to think of it that way, where it's just like, you're going to be able to like grow and be challenged and, you know, in all areas of your life.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
This has been extremely helpful.
Good. Good. All right. We'll talk to you later. Okay. Bye. Love it. All right. Okay, y'all, we got a little bit more time. Who else wants to get coached? I'll do another model with you. My little board. Okay, Tammy. Seat you on here, and y'all can put in the Q&A too if you want. model. Are you there?
Yep.
Hi, I can't see you though.
How do I do that?
Let me see if I can ask you to start your, yes, I'll ask you to start your video and then that should work. Yes. Oh, hey, Tammy.
Hey, Kate. All right. So I have a situation where a lot of money was stolen from our family business and it's been almost a year and it has brought so much tension in the family that I just don't know how to deal with it, you know? Then I'll get kind of in a spiral, I guess. Mm-hmm. But so maybe you can help me with some thoughts to turn that around.
Okay. So what are your thoughts right now that create the tension? What do you make it mean that all of this happened?
Well, maybe I can start with the feeling. It gives it, I'm angry.
Okay. Why?
Because it's put a burden on my father and my brothers. There's no, there's the security that, you know, we thought was there is not there.
Mm. You know, that's a thought, not a fact.
Well, it is a fact. I'm talking a lot of money.
Right. Well, the fact is that money was stolen from the business.
Correct.
And you feel angry. I'm doing your model here.
Okay.
So money was stolen from the business, right? That's your circumstance. Mm-hmm. We could look at, you know, we could look at the police report. We could look at, you know, all that information and figure that out. You feel angry and I ask you why. So what is your thought that creates anger?
Loss of security.
Mm-hmm. We lost our security.
Right.
But again, that's your thought.
How can I have a different thought?
You gotta practice.
Yeah, it's been almost a year I've been practicing. Can't come up with a different thought.
Can't come up with a different thought. How do you want to think about this money being stolen? How do you want to feel? Maybe start with the feeling. And I want to finish this one out first. When you feel anger, let's finish this one out first, and then we'll go to the intentional one.
Okay.
But when you feel anger, what do you do or not do?
Well, I'm not saying I always eat. I just, it bothers
me.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? What creates all the tension in the family? Are there arguments and things like that?
Yeah. And I'm not sure if we're being always getting information. We haven't really gotten a lot more information from like the police. I guess I'm seeking justice, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is that from anger that you're seeking?
Wanting the justice? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. We feel wronged.
Mm-hmm. That's another thought, right? We've been wronged. That feels really true to you, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's actually a thought. I mean, some people could think, well, I guess they needed that money more than we did. You know, I mean, you can think whatever you want about what happened. And the reason I know that is because you feel angry about it. And you probably don't want to, you want to keep feeling angry?
How is stolen money not a fact?
Stolen money is a fact. A certain amount of money was stolen from your business. That is the fact. That is the circumstance. But we lost our security and we've been wronged. Those are your thoughts about it. Because again, everybody doesn't think the person who stole the money, they don't think it's wrong. That's how we know it's a thought.
I'm really struggling with the model because it mm-hmm. seems like there's certain things that are just morally.
Nope. Because there's always someone on this planet that's going to disagree. Even if the only person is the person who stole the money. They don't think it's wrong because they did it. But if one person disagrees, it's a thought.
I was hoping that I would learn something to help me change the thought, but I don't know.
You can decide that it's okay. We'll be okay. That can be your new thought. We'll always be okay. But let's start with the feeling. So let's go with the feeling. How do you want to feel about what happened? You want to keep feeling anger?
I don't know how to let that go until justice is served.
Well, I mean, you can live that way if you want to, but what if justice is never served, in your opinion?
I don't know.
I mean, you can just decide that this is something that happened and I'm going to move on. We're going to rebuild. We're going to move forward. I mean, those are all thoughts that are available to you.
Well, and that's hopefully happening, but I mean, we're talking.
Nothing has to happen outside of you for you to think that. You can just decide that, you know, we're going to move forward no matter what. That doesn't have to be dependent on things happening outside of you. How does the thought we're going to move forward feel?
Yeah, I believe that slowly I think we can rebuild, but it's going to take a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't know that my father will see it. He's 82.
Yeah. And that's up to him, right? That's up to him. That's his model. I mean, that's his model. We're talking about you.
I'm saying, I don't know that he'll see the justice, you know,
yeah,
from what was stolen.
And that might be true, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. But, you know, even before.
But I don't understand how that could be. I don't know.
I think for you, it's just opening your mind up right now. Just being curious about. If I didn't feel angry about this, how else could I feel to move forward?
Like I said, it's been almost a year and I'm trying mm-hmm. to, you know, I mean, I've carried on, I, you know, do my thing, but there are things that trigger and then I think about it and it's just such a level of deceit. It's, that's why I was hoping we can. I don't know how to flip it. I really don't. I mean, we're talking.
Well, and it's not a matter of flipping it. It's not that easy, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's easy. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. But it's just, you know, and that's where we have those bridging thoughts that come in, where mm-hmm. it's like, I'm open to the possibility, maybe,
mm-hmm.
that I could move forward from this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it is like step by step, I mean, you know, thought by thought by thought. We're not talking about moving to just a, oh, everything's great. Let's just keep move forward. You know, you're not there. But maybe it's something like, I'm open to the possibility that maybe sometime in the future. But even before that, I want to back up and say, I want you to just practice, I keep thinking we lost our security. And that's okay. Oh,
it's not a thought. We have. I mean, this...
Until you understand that it's just someone stole money from you. That's all. That's what happened. I keep thinking that we lost our security, and that's okay that I keep thinking that. I just want you to start there and just start there and ask yourself, how could that be a thought? How could that just be something I'm thinking? And that it's not a fact that I could prove in a court of law that everyone would agree with. I mean, crack the door open a little bit with that.
Okay.
I don't want you to go any farther than that right now. Just that you are, you know, the what happened is not creating your anger. It's these thoughts here.
I don't know how to get from there to there. I don't. I really don't.
And you don't at it right now. But it's just becoming open to thinking something differently. Mm-hmm. Like, what if I thought about this differently? What if? Just opening up to that a little bit. Because that's the only way that you're going to move forward, because you can't change what happened, right?
No.
You can't control whether justice is going to be served or not to a point. So how are you going to move forward with you? Not anybody else, just with you. Do you want to move forward with anger? And if you do for a little while, there's nothing wrong with that. You can feel whatever you want to feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you are in control. And you can decide to feel anything you want about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So just open yourself up to that right now. And when you feel like tension, when you feel, you know, resistance, that's where you start doing some writing. You start, you know, really thinking about it and thinking, okay, why is this resistance coming up? Mm-hmm. Why do I want to, like, argue for my pain? You know, why are you arguing to stay angry?
Well, because more facts become known, and then it's just, you know, more deceit. That's why it keeps escalating.
More deceit.
We're talking
more deceit.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. I mean, yeah. For
but
years going backwards.
Yeah. And you're choosing to see it as deceit.
How could it not be?
Because again, the person that did it didn't see it as deceit. So it's a thought.
All right. Well, I'm really struggling with that. And I don't know.
But again, I think it's just so like, even if
why can't it be a fact? I mean, why?
Okay, how does that help you if it's a fact? Let's I'll give it to you. How does that help you? I mean, what do you ultimately want when you can't, you know, you can't control the court system and all of that? What do you want out of this whole situation? This is the C, and then this is your result. What result do you want for you, not for anybody else? We're only talking about Tammy here.
I want justice served. That's what I want.
You can't control that. unfortunately. You can only have justice within you.
This is where I also have a problem with forgiveness, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because forgiveness is all about you. It's not about the other person. The other person, you know.
So you're saying I can't desire and want the justice and the forgiveness at the same time?
You can want whatever you want. It's just, how are you going to feel if it doesn't happen? Because you can't control it. I mean, you can only control you and how you move forward with your life. But you're in total control of that. That's the good news. I mean, you can just decide that this happened, but you want to move forward. And you don't want to live in anger for the rest of your life if it doesn't work out with the courts or whatever it is. And so you just decide that you just want to move forward. And feel what you want to, feel however you want to feel. You are always in control. Now, it takes practice.
Absolutely.
You may wake up every day with anger. Mm-hmm. You know, just like people wake up every day with anxiety. People wake up every day with self-doubt. Like, that's me, you know. And I say, okay, nope, I'm not doing that today. And I practice new thoughts. Mm-hmm. But it takes practice. You know, you may go through that cycle of like, this shouldn't have happened. This was, you know, we've been wronged, and you feel that anger. And then that's where you stop the model. You pause the model right there. And you're like, I don't want to feel anger today. I don't want to be in pain today.
Right.
Yeah. I want to control my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go back up. I can't change with a C, right?
Right.
I'm going to go back up here and practice. I just want to move forward with my life. Or whatever it is that helps you feel whatever you want to feel. Mm-hmm. And for you, it just may be, I don't like a neutral feeling. You know, I don't like that neutral, but it's just maybe just something like open, you know, open to feeling something other than anger, right? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe just an open feeling or a willingness feeling right now. But again, it's something that just may never be totally like automatic, but it's something that just gets better and, you know, like gets easier and easier over time. And, you know, as time goes on.
I don't know, as more time's gone by, it seems like it's getting harder and harder, and learning new facts is just like, okay, what else are you going to tell me? Mm-hmm. I mean, she stole every penny she could steal without the business flunking. Now it's hundreds and thousands of dollars. Last count, I was told, it was $800,000 she stole.
And as, you know, as new facts come out, you know, it's like, I'm still moving forward. I'm not letting this new fact drag me down into the anger again. Mm-hmm. Because I am in control again. I'm not going to let her, you're letting her control your emotions. You know? And you take control of that. Just like, I mean, if this is no different than the number on the scale for other people, right? I mean, you know, you let all of this stuff outside of you.
No, because the number on the scale is something I'm in control of, not somebody else.
Well, ultimately, yes, and you've learned that. But you're absolutely in control of your own feelings. Absolutely. That's something you can control too through your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. I'm not sure if it helps, but...
I want you to, I mean, and I think it's just, it just, you need to take time. I want you to go back and listen to this maybe a few times, right? And also go back and listen to, Tammy, I may find a couple of calls for you from Corinne too that are good. Can I, I'll put those in the notes of this call.
Okay.
On the website. Mm-hmm. And because she does a really good job of explaining this kind of stuff too. So I'm going to see if I can find a couple of calls for you to watch there too.
All right.
That will help. And then, yeah, it's just going to take time for you to just, it'll all kind of soak in. And it's when you've been practicing something for so long and thinking, you know, the same things, it's just going to take some time to kind of just move into something else, but I know you can do it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right. Bye. Okay. Yes, Renee, wrong is a thought. you can reframe anything, right? Again, this is wrong is always a thought because there's someone out there who's going to disagree. And the only way that something can be a circumstance is that everyone on the planet has to agree. Wrong is your opinion. Opinions are not facts. All right. Yeah, you're right, Laura. She said, when I'm mad at someone else, I'm often redirecting my anger at myself for allowing the thing to have happened to me. Right. Because a lot of times when we think we're angry, so angry at someone else, we're really angry. You know, the worst, you know, the strongest anger is usually at ourselves. You know, we think we're angry at someone else when we're actually angry at ourselves for allowing something to happen, things like that. All right. But yeah, I was just, Corinne has talked to a few people about that. So I'll see if I can find a couple of calls to add to the show notes. Okay. I will answer this last question and then we'll be done. How do I deal with stress eating? This is from Kathy. I'm up a pound this week with all the family stress. Every night a different member has an issue they're dealing with and it upsets me so much I eat. I'm the peacekeeper in the family. I'm used to helping everyone and my stress is bad, making my asthma bad. My daughter called me and after listening to her for over 3 hours, she turns it on me demanding I tell her all the problems in my life in the past and I never told things in the past. That's in the past. I shut down and can't deal with it. I can't feel my feelings. That's the key, Kathy, is that when all of this stuff happens, it's, and you know, and other, I think for you, you said you're the peacekeeper in the family. And when there is, I mean, first off, do you want to remain the peacekeeper in the family? Sounds like a pretty stressful job. And here's the deal. You can only keep the peace inside yourself. That's all that you can control. So trying to control other people's feelings, and that's what a peacekeeper tries to do, is trying to control other people's feelings and making sure everybody else is okay. And it's an impossible job. And of course you're going to eat because of it, because you're doing an impossible job. So for you, it's deciding that I can only control my feelings and how, and you know, and what's going on with me. It's just like I was talking about with Tammy, is that, you know, that's all that you can control. And so you deal with stress eating by feeling the stress and not eating. And I'm not saying it's easy and I'm not saying it's comfortable. But that's what it's going to take. But I think also reminding yourself and working on the thought that I can only control me. And so you said your daughter called and after listening to her for over 3 hours, you know, you chose to sit there on the phone with her for 3 hours. That was your choice, right? I mean, I don't know how old she is, but if she's an adult, it's time to let her, you know, work on her problems, maybe. It's just, I mean, it's making your stress bad. You said it's making your asthma bad, right? I mean, this is like serious stuff here. We're talking about your health. So it's up to you to just decide that you can only control your feelings. And again, in turn, that will help your health, your asthma, but then also you won't be overeating because you'll be feeling your feelings. So quit saying that you can't feel them, because you can. We all do, and we don't die or get pregnant by feeling stress or feeling, you know, just feeling upset. What else did you say? I mean, you're used to helping everyone, but is that the role that's really serving you? Right? It might be time to let others solve their own problems. Just something to think about, okay? All right. That is all I've got for today. Good calls, y'all. And gosh, the time went by fast. Let's see what we've got coming up. On the calendar. Y'all know that the team is headed to Vegas on Thursday. So Thursday through Sunday, we'll just kind of be in and out. There won't be an office hours next Saturday because we'll be out of town. Let's see. Looking at July here. Gren will be coaching tomorrow. And then she'll be doing the bonus call, the last bonus call for Gift of Fat. It's on hunger scale, intermittent fasting, and special diets. So that's going to be a good one, right? Kathy will be doing office hours on Tuesday night from 6 to 8, like she always does, 6 to 8 Central Time. And then Corinne will be doing coaching on Wednesday at noon again. So that's what we got for the rest of the time. And then, like I said, we'll be out of town for a few days. But again, we'll be holding the fort down still, and we've got a few folks that are, oh, good, Kathy. I'm glad you heard my answer. We've got some little birdies in the tribe that are going to keep us posted on anything that comes up, and we'll be checking as coaches here and there. But, you know, if the question takes a little bit longer to answer, that's because we're, you know, meeting and having a little bit of fun in Vegas too, right? You got to have fun when you're there. And I think it's only going to be like 105. So, all right, y'all. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait for all of us to get together because, you know, we don't actually work together physically other than Kathy and Corinne. So we're all going to be together, and I can't wait. So it'll be super fun. And we're going to do some awesome planning for you guys too for the next little while. So, all right, guys, take care, and I will see you all again soon. Bye.